Hey everyone, what's up? It's Jeff from Modern Combat and Survival, and welcome to podcast episode number 271. This week we're going to be doing something really, really different than anything we've ever done before. I get inundated with questions all the time on different topics, and frankly, there aren't enough hours in the day to answer them all, which is why I block out time for our open office hours, one-on-one coaching calls for our New World Patriot Alliance members. But it kills me not to make sure I can answer as many questions as possible. So we're going to test out a new 5-in-5 format, where I'll blindly answer 5 questions that have been submitted by our listeners that I haven't seen before in under a minute. In other words, it's kind of like a Stump Jeff game show format almost, where I have to quickly get to the meat of an answer for what was submitted. I'd really like to get your feedback on this new format, so please make sure that you leave a comment on our blog at moderncombatandsurvival.com where this podcast is listed. And yes, there will also be a handy-dandy one-page cheat sheet covering today's Q&A. And you can pick it up absolutely free by going to www.mcsmagazine.com/271. And now, listen in as our readers try to stump Jeff with these 5 survival-related questions.
Tactical firearms training, urban survival, close quarters combat.
This is another podcast to help you better prepare for any threat you may face in your role as a protector and a patriot. This is Modern Combat and Survival.
Hello, everyone. This is Buck Green for MCS Magazine, and I'm here this week with Jeff Anderson. We're doing something a little different this week with the podcast, and that is what we call 5-in-5. We've collected over the years a database of questions submitted by you, readers, listeners, viewers, who have participated in various webinars and other online events that we've done. All of those questions get submitted, and we keep them and save them for occasions just like this one. What we're going to do is throw 5 of those questions at Jeff. And to keep this as much like a game show as possible, we're going to start the timer after I get out the first question so that Jeff has a minute per question to answer these. These are real questions submitted by you. He has not seen them at all. He's coming in with what the kids call a hot take on each of these items. They're all survival oriented for this edition of the 5-in-5 because they came from a survival webinar that we did where we collected the questions. So if Jeff, if you're ready and your hand is on the buzzer, I will throw you the first question.
Yeah, it's game show time, right? Yeah, so I'll start the timer like at the end of your first question, but I'll keep it going through your question. So you ask the questions fast. I'll give the best answers I can as quickly as possible, and we'll see what happens.
All right, are you ready?
I'm ready. Yep, let's go.
Question number 1 comes from Colton Hughes of California. What military surplus gear is the best bang for the buck with regards to utility, durability, mobility, and appearance?
Well, first of all, I would say appearance isn't part of the factor, or isn't one of the factors, because you don't want to look tactical. So for survival gear, I don't want anything that really looks tactical. Everybody pretty much knows that about me. Other than that, like anything in a surplus store, anything military surplus is going to be really good quality. So that's why it's surplus. Cheap stuff is not going to be. So 2 things come to mind though. Military poncho is going to last you much, much longer than any other poncho pretty much that you're going to find out there. I still have mine from back, like from the mid-80s. So the other thing I would say is an entrenching tool. I've bought entrenching tools from Cabela's or Bass Pro, and they're basically cheap pieces of crap. They don't really work. I still have my military e-tool that just, I've dug foxholes, latrines, and everything with that thing, and it's still going strong.
All right, question number 2. This is from Greg Medlin from Mississippi. I love hiking. What is the best affordable rain poncho to use for hiking an emergency shelter?
Well, again, I have to go back to the military surplus one. That's things like that. I mean, I can tell you, being out in the, anybody that's been in the military, you know, like if it ain't raining, it ain't training. And so I prefer not to use a poncho for my rain gear. So I actually use a rain top, and I have rain bottoms as well. Nowadays, there's some relatively good ones that are out there. I don't remember the name of what I have right now, but I prefer to wear pants and like a top just for mobility purposes. I don't like to wear an actual poncho. But if you are looking for a poncho because of the versatility, again, I got to go with like the actual military grade poncho for both that and to be able to use as a shelter.
Question number 3 comes from Robin Kunzler of Utah. What is the most common mistake you see that people make in their survival gear?
Oh, geez, we could go. That's like a 20-minute question. I think the number one thing I see is people, everybody trying to go like doomsday prepper. Look at me. I'm a military contractor dude. And they try to look like they're like in the military. And as people have, maybe if you've attended the webinar, or if you've, hell, just listen to any of our podcasts, read any of our articles or emails that we put out there, or the blog posts. You want to be tactical, but you don't want to look tactical. If you look tactical, you are going to be a sitting duck for everyone around you. You look like somebody that is prepared, that you have supplies. They don't have supplies. So not that you're necessarily going to be attacked for them, but nonetheless, you are going to have people coming up to you and going to be asking you for supplies that, because you look like you have them. And as I always say, like, asking turns to begging, begging turns to demanding, and demanding turns to taking, and sometimes by force.
Question number 4 comes from Michael Harmon of Indiana. How do you keep your bug out bag from getting so heavy that you have to have two?
It really is the selection of gear. Most people, I think, if you go through and you actually do an inventory, for those of you that actually have a bug out bag, if you do an inventory of them, you'll find that you have a lot of unnecessary gear in there. Now, I'm guilty of this also, except that you just have to know your limits. Like, I'm 52, but I'm still really fit. I still get out there and I do road marches with my backpack. Like, I get it. Most people are not going to do that, right? And in fact, the vast majority aren't. However, I know what I can handle and what I can't handle. So that just allows me more time or more space there to put things that are on the, it's really nice to have these, but I don't need them. But most people, if you look at some of the bug out bag pictures online, people have everything but the kitchen sink in there. Rappelling gear, I mean, you know, 3 different handguns, a knife, a machete. They've got all kinds of stuff. And it's just about doing more with less and just doing an inventory of your own stuff.
Finally, question number 5 from Wayne Prince in Texas. What is the best defense in disaster? Is it bugging out or bugging in? Please give supporting facts and your opinion.
It's really, well, that's kind of a loaded question. So it's very situationally dependent. There are times where your home is always going to be the best place to be as far as defense wise, unless it's not. So that was that for a loaded answer too. I mean, what I mean by that is most people just think that they're going to be able to hunker down in their home and be able to wait it out. That's great, as long as that disaster isn't going to force you out of there and then you don't have control over your next steps. I much more prefer if there's any question whatsoever whether I'm going to be able to stay, I'm going to leave, because then I'm in control of getting on the road faster than everybody else, and I can get to where I want to get to faster as well, rather than being pulled out of my home.
Did we do it? Was that the timer?
That's the timer, yeah.
That's 5 in 5. I think those were good questions, and I did enjoy your answers. I deliberately threw in some difficult ones to see what you do with them. But I think those kind of get to the fundamentals of survival.
Yeah, they were really good questions. So thanks, everybody, for submitting what you had. I mean, I would say also, I mean, look, if you guys like this, I'd like to hear on the blog if you have any different answers than what I gave, or any of your own opinions. I'd love to hear them as well. So where the podcast is placed on the blog on moderncombatandsurvival.com, go ahead, and I'd like to hear your comments on there as well. We're kind of thinking about doing this 5 in 5 sort of thing on a more regular basis, maybe even in addition to our regular weekly podcast. So I'd like to hear everybody's opinion of what you think about it. So anyway, I love it. It's just a really good opportunity for me to answer more questions, because we get so many in. And I always feel bad if I don't get to answer people's questions. So, hey, maybe this is a way that we can get more Q&A going.
Well, I like putting you on the spot and picking your brain at the same time too. That's always fun for me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for the podcast this week then. Until next time.
Prepare, train, and survive.
Modern Combat and Survival.
We hope you've enjoyed the show. You can help us out by rating our podcast on iTunes and leaving a comment. You can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/Modern Combat and Survival. And don't forget to claim your free subscription to Modern Combat and Survival magazine at www.moderncombatandsurvival.com. Lock and load. And we'll see you next time. This has been Modern Combat and Survival.